The presenting sponsor of the Locked On Pacers podcast for today's Tuesday show is MyBookie.ag. It is that time of year. There's college basketball, there's college football, there's the NFL, there's the NBA, it's almost bowl season, there's almost the NFL playoffs. It's a perfect type of betting season. You know, every imaginable sport besides baseball is going on, the Olympics coming up soon. So MyBookie.ag is the perfect site for all your gambling needs, whether you're a degenerate gambler and love to bet parlays, future odds, whatever it is, MyBookie.ag is the perfect place to use. And if you use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA, they will give you a 100% deposit bonus. That means for every dollar you put down, you will get $1 in free money. That's a great deal. I don't know what sites you guys use now, if you gamble at all, but you know, if most people that are into sports like to gamble on sports, you should use MyBookie.ag because it's perfect. Remember to use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA so they'll match every dollar you put down. It's the perfect time of year to bet on sports. So use mybookie.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. I am your host of the Locked On Pacers podcast. And the Pacers have finally looked like they've turned a corner. Just 2 weeks ago, they had lost five of their last six games. They looked like they were in a slump. The team couldn't figure it out. Miles Turner couldn't figure it out. Domantas Sabonis looked better with the starting unit. There were worries about who should play where. They're blowing leads all over the place. But now they've won four straight games. They beat Orlando yesterday, 105-97, in what was basically a dominant Pacers, mid-third quarter, entire fourth quarter. Basically dominated most of the game except for basically the second quarter. They dominated the entire Heat game earlier this week. They came back against the Pistons, and they dominated the Grizzlies most of the night. So they've had now four just quality wins. They've done it in different fashions. One come from behind, two dominations, two hold on late, but they're not blowing games anymore, and it's awesome. So the biggest storyline out of this week, was the Miles Turner controversy. And you probably heard it by now. I'm going to just repeat it. But so apparently on Friday, after Domantas Sabonis played the entire fourth quarter with the starters and had, I think, something like 20 points off the bench, there was a bubbling rumor out there that Miles Turner should lose his job. Well, apparently he called up good old teammate Victor Oladipo and said, "Can I come over?" And they apparently chatted for hours at 1 p.m. on Friday night, discussed why Turner was struggling and whatnot, and somehow got past it. And Oladipo, he was asked about it after the game and kind of played it off, but it just showed some really good leadership by Oladipo. He said he sees Turner in himself a little bit. I don't really know what that means, but it must be personality-wise. But it's just indicative of this whole team and how their chemistry is awesome. I know fans out there, every team thinks that their team has good chemistry when they're playing well, but this Pacers team just seems like they've got awesome chemistry in a way that I haven't seen from a Pacers team really since the 12-13 season, where, remember those guys, the infamous picture now, GQ picture with George, West, Hibbert, Stevenson, and George Hill, where it was like, I know it's a running joke on Twitter now that once that photo was posted, now every guy's no longer on the roster anymore, besides now Stevenson is back. But those guys have this kind of chemistry that this Pacers team seems like they have right now. Now, chemistry doesn't translate always to a ton of wins, but it translates to fun basketball, translates to entertaining games, and it makes the Pacers kind of now a must-see ticket for Indiana basketball. There aren't a lot of good college teams in the state of Indiana right now. In IU, it kind of stinks. Butler is in a transition year. They lost their head coach. Indiana has always been a college basketball mecca. Purdue is okay this year, I guess. Ball State is never good. Shout out to the Cardinals. So the Pacers are becoming kind of the must-watch basketball team in Indiana. They've got a couple of young guys, Turner, Sabonis, Oladipo, who are really fun to watch. They've got some veterans, but the team is fun to watch. They play at super high pace. They play with a lot of energy. Oladipo, because he's from IU, has some of those ties to some of the, fans can connect to that and kind of see, for a lot of times there was this idea that Pacers always had to have a hometown guy. They had Vic Roberts, and they had Hill, and then they had Teague. But I think Victor Oladipo actually relates or connects more with the fan base because he went to IU. The only really Indiana product, that from Indiana that went to another Indiana school. I know George went to IUPUI, went to one of the bigger Indiana schools, was Eric Gordon. He would be the kind of guy that would connect with the IU fans. But Oladipo played 3 years at IU, so there is some connection between IU fans, especially because that was probably the best IU has been in the last decade or two. So there's some connection that, you know, the fans that necessarily, you know, the people that say, well, I'm a basketball fan, I like college basketball, I don't necessarily like professional basketball, but Oladipo kind of could bring that in. And I think it's going to be a huge bonus for this Pacers team. I think it's going to be what could start driving more fans. And I think that was actually part of the calculation of why they brought Oladipo in. They thought there's some connection with his IU roots. And, you know, as much as it pains me to say, you know, most of Indiana, you know, basketball fans are because they're IU fans, because IU was so good and kind of built up this basketball heritage in Indiana. And so I think that kind of connects them. And so this is good. You know, I think the Pacers are, they're a really good home team. I know they blew that game against the Pelicans, but they're 4-3 at home this season. I mean, that's not fantastic, but I think, yeah, they're 4-3 at home. They won back-to-back road game, which is awesome. I mean, that, to go on the road with back-to-back games is awesome. But I think just the way the team is playing is really going to get the fan base rallied behind them, because football in Indiana sucks right now, and that's just, it's just boring. But it's, basketball is fun again. You know, I do vaguely remember, I was young, but I do remember the 03-04 Pacers. Those fans, they sold out every game because the Pacers were fun. And I think if the team is selling out, things are going well, you know, there's a chance that the Simons want to invest money in the team. That means they're going to sign bigger name players, when they keep guys, you know. This could be the start of something. You know, we're in the beginning of what could be a genesis of rebirth of kind of this fun Indiana basketball around, you know, three really fun young players in Turner, Sabonis, and Oladipo, who are here for a long term. You know, they're not, you know, everybody else in this team, you can't say you don't know, you know, Collison is 30, Bogdanovich is 32, Young is 30 years old, Corey Joseph, you don't know. But I think this is the beginning of a genesis of just like the rebirth of a different Indiana basketball team. You know, it's interesting that it didn't take that long. You know, every few years you see kind of this rebirth of Indiana teams. You saw it in the early 90s with Reggie Miller, then you saw it kind of fade away late 90s, but it was then rebuild around Jermaine O'Neal, then it kind of fell apart after the brawl, and then rebuilt around Paul George, Roy Hibbert, David West type of teams. And now, it, you know, it's rebuilding. We saw a couple down years with George. Yeah, they had Paul George, and they were trying to find an identity, but they found an identity, and they are fast. And I can't say enough praises for Coach Nate McMillan right now. So I'm going to write a huge article, McMillan, later on this week. Probably it's going to come out around the mid-quarter season. I mean, it's in quarter season, you know, time. Probably next Sunday would be my guess. But McMillan has completely, you know, changed his style. I think a lot of credit goes to Pritchard, too, for bringing in the guys. But McMillan was this guy who, in Seattle, when he was in Portland, played one of the slowest paces of any team, you know, teams in the league at the time. I mean, I'm starting to do some research on McMillan. I'm just starting to kind of dig into it, so I don't have a ton of stats at the moment for you guys. But I know he had, you know, he was one of the slowest, you know, coaches running one of the slowest offenses. And somehow this year, he's got the Pacers running at like a ridiculous pace. I mean, they're ninth in pace right now. They were ninth in pace. I'm sure it's getting better. They, you know, today's Orlando game was a little slower than usual, but I think that was because it's a back-to-back, because they played an extremely fast pace against the Heat. So it's kind of it counters each other out. But, you know, it's exciting. I don't know how he did it. I think a lot of credits go to Dan Burke, an assistant coach who seems to be really taking an active role, you know, with this team. He always has, but he seems to be taking a more active role about kind of convert. You know, he was the defensive guru under Bird would say. But I think Burke is taking even this aspect of, you know, defense matters, but what really matters is just continuing the pace and is not getting stuck on if a bad play happens to defense, of getting lag behind and feeling down, of just pushing. So it's been extremely fun to watch. I still can't believe, you know, this is where the Pacers are right now. Through 18 games, through six back-to-backs, somehow this team is 10-8, right in the thick of a playoff race, probably sitting at the 4 or 5 seed right now, which may not be where they end up, but it just, you know, they've fought through what is probably going to be one of their toughest parts of their schedule. You know, I think the first 20, 25 games, I think, were some of the hardest games we're going to have to fight through. And if they come out this first quarter of the season at 10-10 at the worst, which I think they're going to at least win one of the games this weekend. They have one last back-to-back this weekend. But then things start to loosen up. You know, they have a month where they play the Knicks, and they play the Bulls, and they play Cleveland, who's been awesome, so I don't want to say a lot about them. But it's not back-to-backs. It's a little loosened up. There's some more wins. There's some opportunities to really get some games. And really, if by Christmas time this team is, you know, probably play 25 games by Christmas, maybe 30. If this team is 15-12, 15-13, that's awesome. And this team seems to have confidence again. You know, I worried after they lost those four games, that they would lose their confidence, but they got it back. And I think it's a huge credit to Nate McMillan, who, you know, he's just figured it out with identity. He's even trying new things. So interesting I saw from him is he played Oladipo to start the fourth quarter because he knew he needed to keep his, you know, his the momentum from the team from the end of the third quarter going. But then he took him out about 10 minutes and brought in, I think he brought in Darren Collison, where he knows he's got certain guys who can help lead the pace. But in the end, Oladipo gets some minutes off, who was having an awesome game, because you don't want to play Oladipo 40 minutes. He's trying to keep his guys under 35 minutes, I think, is kind of his goal. I know there's times where he'll play Oladipo, but he's kind of figuring out how he doesn't need necessarily to play Collison and Oladipo together, because both of them provide some of the same things. Yeah, they're awesome together. And he needs the last, like, 6 minutes of quarters together, then together. But if they have the lead, it's about staggering those two guys who can really, are the two guys who can dictate how fast offense goes. Yeah, Stevenson is actually kind of turned a corner and been decent, but Oladipo and Collison are like the two guys who really keep the team pushing their pace. They're two fastest guys in the team. They're two the fastest guys in the NBA. When I watch them, I can't believe how fast they are. I mean, Oladipo, I think sometimes literally runs faster than the ball moves. And Darren Collison, I don't remember, you know, I watched Collison last year with the Kings, but the Kings were just a boring team to watch, to be honest. But Collison is so quick around the rim that I've never seen a guy who is probably under 6 feet be able to do a reverse layup and get around. You know, there was a play against Whiteside where he flipped the ball. He drove at him so quickly that couldn't adjust his feet, and Collison went under the rim and flipped it over his head, and it was awesome. I mean, Collison is really good, and I think he's one of the more underrated guards in the NBA right now. I don't know where he falls in assists and things like that, but Collison is, you know, he's definitely leading this Pacer team. You know, I would say, I mean, I think it's a whole team effort. I think everybody's playing awesome, but the pace leaders are definitely Collison and Oladipo. You know, I just like the way that McMillan is trying different lineups, the way he seems to have been, I mean, somehow the defense has gotten better end of games. I mean, there was, you know, this Orlando game last night got really tight. It got really tight the last 2 minutes, and they played really good defense. There was a, you know, on the second or third to last play where Eric Gordon baked in that shot, which was a great shot. But they played really tight defense where they didn't get caught running around and getting caught with open and let a guy be open in the corner. They did a good job getting back, making adjustments, making switches, all kinds of things that you didn't see, you know, even 2 weeks ago. This team is getting better. And you heard from Oladipo after the game where he said, you know, they're going to use the next 3 days to get better and practice more. It's really important. You know, this team seems to be focused in it. And I think that's a huge testament to not just the leaders on this team, which is clearly Thaddeus Young and Oladipo and Collison are all leaders, but it's Nate McMillan. I mean, the players seem to have really bought into what he's telling them. I don't know if it's because he's a player's coach or what it is, but these players have bought into what he's trying to sell them. And I think part of it also, yes, they've got some great locker room guys. You know, this team is young, but they've got guys who, they've got enough veterans in Bogdanovich and in Collison who know, who kind of are pushing, that kind of lighting fire people's asses. Excuse my language. The same thing as goes with, you know, with Young. You know, it's just, this team has been really fun to watch, and I think it's really a testament of Nate McMillan's ability to somehow get the guys to buy into this team, because going into the season, I had my doubts about him. I thought, man, this guy stinks. I really hope they fire him. I hope they have a bad season, because he's not a good NBA head coach, but he is. And I don't want to discount Kevin Pritchard, who's put this team together, did a really good job, but this whole offseason, you know, it's games like Orlando game that make you realize that, you know, this team has got a good GM. They've got a good coach. You know, better than at least the Pacer fans thought, because Pritchard had very little to work with. There weren't a ton of big free agents out there, but he got the right free agents. He brought in the guys he knew fit together perfectly. You know, he knew where Collison fit, and he had a vision, and him, and I'm sure that Millen worked with him on signing the guys, and they, on who to sign, and they had a vision, and they started to implement it, and it's paid off. I mean, this team is 10-8 through 18 games, and I don't think anybody coming to the season would say that they thought they'd be 10-8. They just won a back-to-back against Orlando and Miami on the road. Road back-to-backs are tough, and the Pacers won, and they seem determined and focused, and they've already had a slump, and they've gotten through that slump. It's just awesome. You know, this Orlando game, I can go into more detail about it, but I think the overarching thing right now is there's a lot of optimism about Pacer basketball. Through 18 games, they look awesome. They're just things rolling. And, you know, there's only thing I would say about this Orlando game that I really noticed, that I really want to hit, is I think Stevenson has finally turned the corner. You know, Tony and I talked about it on yesterday's podcast. What do we need from Stevenson? So there was a game against the Grizzlies where Stevenson had 8 points, you know, something like 8 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. Like, that's the perfect Stevenson game. He didn't take a single three. He was 4 of 6 or whatever. You know, that's the perfect Stevenson game. Stevenson tonight had another really good night. You know, I got it. He was only 1 for 4 with 3 points, but he had 10 rebounds. He had 6. I mean, that's the kind of things from Stevenson where he doesn't have to be, you know, a 20-point scorer. He doesn't have to shoot well. He just has to be a positive out there on the floor. I mean, I think, you know, just touching David Milligan, he also shrunk the lineup to 8 guys, which has been really helpful this season because they have really 8 solid players. I think Stevenson is getting the minutes and starting to prove, hey, maybe I can't, you know, maybe Stevenson's never going to be a good 3-point shooter. But he can be a guy who can make great plays. I mean, he has court vision, I think, that a lot of other guys don't. There's a couple plays where he makes some awesome passes to guys. I mean, you know, Joseph had a couple times where he set him up really nicely for threes that he didn't make. But Stevenson is special when he's just, you know, pushing his special skills and not worrying about his 3-point shot. You know, I think Stevenson tries too much to be something he isn't. He wants to be a 3-point shooter when he isn't. But what he is he's a really good rebounder. You know, he sometimes is trying to out-rebound his own guys, but he's always there. You know, the fact that he's always there means he wants to get the rebound, and he's really, you know, engaged at trying to get that, and he's a really good passer. He has the ability to throw defenders off, shake them off, whatever it is. He's awesome at that. And he's been hugely beneficial from the fact that they've shrunk the lineup to 8 guys, because I think, you know, what they've been running for a while with these weird lineups with Stevenson and Jefferson and T.J. Leaf that just were kind of odd and not working. But I think now they've shrunk the lineup to 8 guys, which is another part of McMillan's just, I think he's doing a great job. He's finally figuring out who to play. They're doing, you know, Stevenson is playing with better players, and he's able to, you know, use his really good court vision to set up Bogdanovich for a nice three or set up Joseph for an open three, which are things that just didn't happen earlier this season. So I'm extremely excited by these guys. I'm extremely excited by it. I think Stevenson finally turned a corner. You know, I'm not sure the Pacers can sustain with 8 players, but they should get Robinson back soon. And they have a 9-man rotation. I think exactly the perfect amount. You know, I have questions about T.J. Leaf, what they'll do with him. But that's for another podcast, not for today. But, you know, this Orlando game, really, I can't say enough about McMillan's ability to just stick with a lineup and make, you know, small in-game adjustments to let, you know, with Oladipo and with Collison to push the pace. And I think if Stevenson has really turned a corner, which he seems like he has, you know, he's played really well the last 3 or 4 games. He struggled in Miami a little bit, but the Pacers got off such a good start, it didn't matter. And I think Turner's going to have hot and cold nights like he did tonight. He had a cold night, but a hot night the night before. Whatever. I think this team is, if they can just keep playing these 8 guys and building chemistry even more than they already have, they're going to be a real contender to make the playoffs. I'm not going to sit here and say they're going to be contender to win a playoff series or whatever, but just make the playoffs, and that's a step that I think nobody thought they would do this year. We all had high hopes they would compete for a playoff spot, but the fact that if they end up anywhere near 41-41 or above 500, that is a huge step up than what anybody thought. Their win total was 28.5, so we'll see. So that's all I got for today's podcast. Remember to use MyBookie. That's the presenting sponsor of our Tuesday podcast. If not, we'll be on again Wednesday with me and Tony doing the preview of the Thanksgiving weekend. And if you don't listen to that one, have a great Thanksgiving, but you should, because the Celtics and Raptors are two great teams, and I'm interested to see how the Pacers play them, because it'll be their first real test of some really good teams, but they're both at home, so it'll be fun. You should go to those games, things like that. That's all for today's Locked On Pacers podcast. That's all I got for you. Have a great rest of your day.